Over the past 17 years, the South African Department of Education has been working to transform the curriculum left over after apartheid. During apartheid, education was a primary tool of maintaining and legitimizing race-based inequalities. The education system in South Africa then strongly reflected the policies of segregation and ideologies of white supremacy that so entrenched society. From about 1948 to 1994, people of color experienced a separate apartheid education, while whites attended better-funded, more intellectually enriching schools. Starting in 1953, Minister of Education Hendrik Verwoerd even implemented what he called Bantu education, which was a separate education for black Africans that primarily taught ideals of duty and persistence in order to prepare an industrial workforce. Additionally, Bantu education's curriculum aimed to instill feelings of black inferiority, as it erased African histories before European settlement and forbade the use of native African languages. Through Bantu education and apartheid education more generally, people of color were taught to accept their positions of inferiority in society. In 1996, the South African Schools Act desegregated schools and claimed to provide equal funding to all public schools, therefore seemingly dismantling apartheid education. With this act, apartheid education was officially over. Yet racial and class-based inequalities continue to persist in modern South African school systems. Throughout our research trip to King Williamstown, South Africa, our team focused on how these inequalities play out through the curriculum. There is technically one nationwide curriculum in South Africa. In the National Education Policy Act of 1996, provisions were made for a national education policy regarding curriculum frameworks and course syllabi, as well as education programs, learning standards, and national examinations. Although curriculum standards differ for each grade, we focused particularly on grades 10 through 12, since we conducted most of our research in high schools. According to national curriculum standards for grades 10 through 12, students must complete 7 subjects a year, including 2 languages, one of which being the native or home language, and another being a first additional language. One of these 2 language classes must be in the language of teaching and learning, which usually means English. Other available languages include Afrikaans, isiXhosa, isiZulu, and siSwati. Students must also take a course in mathematics or mathematical literacy, a course in life orientation, and a minimum of 3 subjects from what they call Group B curriculum, which includes sciences, accounting, economics, geography, or history. Additional certified subjects in this area also include agriculture, dance, design, dramatic arts, and music, for example. Yet, restrictions arise. Although there is officially one national curriculum, it is not implemented equally. So schools throughout the Eastern Cape actually do not have the same curriculum that formerly all white schools may have. Courses are generally grouped together based on subject. For example, at some schools, if a student wants to take economics, they'll have to take a class such as life sciences along with it. They cannot take history while they take economics, even if they wanted to. Additionally, a lack of resources prevents schools from offering many of the subjects that are available as possible certified courses, such as music or design. Instead, many formerly all-black rural schools do not have the resources, teachers, or classroom space to offer these courses.
Throughout our research in King Williamstown, South Africa, we attempted to ask students, teachers, and administrators about these characteristics of South African curriculum. Yet most interviewees tended to quickly shift the focus from official curriculum to more everyday problems that stifle the ability for curriculum to even be implemented. Through our interviews within a variety of schools around King Williamstown, we have found that the availability of resources and students' socioeconomic status are the primary factors in the unequal implementation of curriculum. Perhaps the most visible form of inequality in countless South African schools is the availability of resources. When identifying different types of resources, our research team discovered that these were not limited to physical objects, such as desks, chairs, textbooks, computers, etc. In fact, we found that many schools, especially those located in rural areas, were deprived of financial resources, which hindered their ability to purchase basic school necessities or even maintain sanitary facilities. Furthermore, many schools were severely understaffed, and in some cases, learners would come to school only to sit in empty classrooms until their academic day was over. Unfortunately, for many of these learners, they would have to walk or commute incredible distances every single day to attend a school that was unable to provide a nurturing learning environment. When interviewing teachers and administrative officials, such as the principal or deputy principal, we were reminded time and time and again that a severe shortage of resources constricted their individual and collective abilities to appropriately educate learners. As products to the American education system, our expectations of adequate facilities, seemingly fundamental services such as teachers, guidance counselors, and college or university counselors, as well as basic necessities, were far-fetched and somewhat idealistic for a nation with such an extreme educational inequality gap. From our various interviews, we ascertained that many learners were from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, and this was especially prevalent in the rural schools such as ZK Matthews. Some of these students would have to travel 8 kilometers to school and another 8 kilometers back, either on foot or in taxis. Regardless of how they arrived at school, returning home was perhaps the more dangerous part of their journey. These learners risk getting assaulted, mugged, or even raped on their long trek home. Although we are unable to make definitive statements regarding these learners' home lives, many of the teachers and administrators seem to believe that these children returned to unstable environments in which their parents were either unemployed and unable to establish a sound family structure, or absent entirely. Furthermore, it was conveyed to us that many of these children were the heads of their household, and therefore obliged to provide some sort of income for the rest of their family as well. It becomes rather apparent that having one identical curriculum for the entire nation was not a solution to the apartheid education, and it simply focused on equality instead of introducing equity into South African education system.
Although there is one national curriculum in South Africa, it is not implemented equally. An identical curriculum may address equality, but it certainly ignores equity in South Africa and leaves teachers and administrators asking themselves if they could have done something more to help those children. As a result, most teachers in the current schooling system have to decide between being parents or educators, while many of their learners are in dire need of both. The curriculum, although much more progressive than Bantu education, is arguably irrelevant due to the fact that many teachers, especially those in rural schools, lack basic resources, facilities, and funds to provide for their students. Furthermore, teachers have no say in the structure or content of the curriculum, which results in antagonistic relationships between the Department of Education subject advisors and teachers all over South Africa for a multitude of reasons. Subject advisors serve as intermediaries between the national government and the schools and are tasked with simply transmitting the curriculum, which results in the lack of transparency and accountability, as well as an inefficient use of funds. In order to resolve the aforementioned issues, there must be communication and cooperation between the South African government, Department of Education, schools, and their respective communities so that socioeconomic concerns are addressed while students are simultaneously educated to become well-informed, contributing members of society. The experience and suggestions of educators are essential to ameliorating the current education system. South Africans have been fighting against numerous opponents for hundreds of years, and the fight hasn't stopped. Organizations like Equal Education advocate for quality of schools in South Africa. Equal Education seeks to improve the quality of education in the Eastern Cape by working together with communities, schools, teachers, learners, and parents to specifically overcome issues regarding infrastructure and resources. Through the work of organizations such as Equal Education, the fight for equitable education is continuing to ensure that curriculum is implemented equally among schools in South Africa.